Jason, you and Jalen obviously had a high scoring night tonight, and that's pretty much been routine. When did you know that you guys had something as a duo?
It's been a long time coming. Talk about it, you know, pretty often. I mean, we've had our good times and not so good times. But I think those are just growing pains, right? We're just both 19-year-old kids that came into the league, you know, hungry and trying to get better and trying to help our team win. And, you know, through that, we've had to, you know, learn to play in this league, learn how to play with each other, learn how to lead a team. Feel like we're still a long way from ultimately where exactly we want to be. You know, we've made amazing strides, I think, you know, from the beginning. And we still got a long way to go, you know, because, you know, it's not done until, you know, we win a championship.
All right, another episode of the Cosby Street Podcast. I'm Joseph Pavone. Sean Dutra's here. Joel Pavone's here. You Celtics fans, you can thank some a couple of Celtics legends for that beatdown that happened in Boston against the Brooklyn Nets. You can count Paul Pierce. You can count Kevin Garnett. And you can, whatever that conversation they had with Tatum, Brown, and even Marcus, even though Marcus didn't play, it made a difference, all right? So you can count them in on that win, all right? They helped the Celtics win that. And hopefully it's going to lead to a long winning streak. Hopefully it'll lead to this type of dominance. I don't know if it'll happen every single game, but, man, this team, I mean, that was they would do for something like that, right, for that type of performance. And, of course, Celtics fans enjoyed it against Kyrie Irving and the Brooklyn Nets, a 139-96 beatdown. Tatum and Brown went 7-for-12 from behind the arc, man. Just incredible. I mean, most teams would be happy if that happens for the team, but for these two guys to do it on their own, and for them to be sitting in the on the bench watching the team put the finishing touches in the fourth quarter, I mean, that's what it's all about, man. I mean, that's the type of performance that we haven't seen from the Celtics in quite some time. So they needed that. That one was long overdue.
Yeah, 7-of-12, not combined, each. Like
each, right? Like, both of them
killed it.
Both of them
killed it from
14-for-24.
Killed it. Yes, thank you, Sean. Thank you for the math. I was waiting for somebody to add those two things up. But hey,
they call me the calculator.
The dope thing about that this particular win is that it happened after a sort of a long layoff, right? Because that was kind of been the knock on the Celtics this year, right? They play better in back to backs. They play better after like just a day off. But, you know, 2 or 3 days off, and then it's like, you know, they forget how to play basketball sometimes. So for this to happen against the Nets for the 10th straight time, that's exactly what they needed after, you know, a close call with the Lakers, the controversial, you know, win, whatever you want to call it.
Right. Well, Joel, I also think that, like, they lost those 3 games in a row. I mean, that was a tough little stretch for the Celtics right there. When you lose to the Magic, the Heat, tightly contested game, should have won that game. You also probably should have won the Knicks game, but you had 3 losses that basically were tough to swallow in a row. They've had 1 3-game losing streak already.
Yeah, poor late game execution. Yeah, we talked about it last episode, and
But being able to bounce back against your rival, you get the call, which I feel like was the first call ever to go against LeBron James, which is why he spent.
But that's just it, though. Like, all right, we'll get into that. But like, you still had 5 more minutes to decide the game, right? It wasn't like
that was a good game, though. I will say this: it's like that was a really good game because I feel like the Lakers were super motivated to come here and win, and the Celtics were able to stand up to them. And then, yes, I mean, did you get a favorable call? Yes. But then what did they do? They went into overtime. And how many times do you feel like we've gotten into overtime this year and we've sort of lost our thunder? I mean,
the Celtics haven't been good in overtime.
It's about 50-50.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the losses that we've had. The Celtics, what? How many losses do the Celtics have this year?
Two to Cleveland, right?
And overtime. There's about 6 overtime losses this year. I'm just throwing that out there. I think it's been about 6.
2 to Cleveland, the Knicks, I want to say Chicago, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, yep. Chicago.
Yep. 2 to Chicago. Yep, 2.
Okay. But, like, did any of those go to overtime? I'm trying to think of, like, the overtime losses.
Yeah, that's right.
The Heat, we've lost 2 to the Heat One to the Heat in overtime.
One of the Heat. Okay, there you go. So, yeah, they, for the most part, they haven't been good in overtime games.
Lost to the Cavaliers in overtime. Cavaliers in overtime. Yeah, yeah. So, like, there's been about at least 4 to 5 games that they've lost out of the 15 losses that have went to overtime. So that's something that you should hang your hat on. But then, like, hey, you actually get a favorable call and you're able to withstand that and now beat a very motivated team in overtime. That felt really good. And then to double down on that, and if you're going to talk about the two biggest rivals to the Celtics right now, it's probably the, like, just rivals from, like, a fan's perspective. It's the Lakers and Nets, and you got them back-to-back, and you're able to win both of those games. Those are sweet. And to get to Sway's point about playing with a little bit of, like, a little bit of rest and keeping that momentum going, that's what they're going to be doing all week this week, because it's the first, like, week all year where they have literally 3 games. That's it. 3 games in a week. 3 games in 7 days. They haven't had that since preseason, bro. Like, that hasn't happened all year.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time. Again, like, this is overdue. I think we can all agree with that. We weren't sure that we were going to see it against the Brooklyn Nets. But, man, once we did see it, once we were, like, halfway through it, didn't you think to yourself, like, man, the gap is big between Boston and Brooklyn? Like, obviously, without Durant, that's maybe for some people that's stating the obvious, but, like, the Celtics took the life out of these guys. Like, by the second quarter, it was like they were just like, oh, well, we lost this game. And I get it. You know, when a team, any team in the NBA, is shooting lights out like that from behind the arc, it's easy to feel that way. But just their body language, the direction, you just saw them completely fold. I mean, there was very little executing going on. I mean,
yeah,
Kyrie finished with. I mean, Kyrie scored, but what did he finish with? 4 assists? I mean, it was like dribble, 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 you know, into a corner, a couple passes, and get a shot off. But it's like, man, guys like that, just they're not in position to just go off because they're down by 20-plus points, you know? And it showed in a big way, especially when the Celtics were able to capitalize off those losses and
you know what?
Back the other way, you know?
You know what? You know what really spoke volumes to me is obviously, like, I don't give 2 cents to whatever Kyrie says in the post game, but when he said in the post game of, like, hey, we were just a team that was in the way of them accomplishing what they want to do.
And then
he goes like, hey, we can't be that team, but, like,
that
is the way, like, that to me speaks volumes about the Celtics and the way they're handling it. And also, dude, I think that straight up comes from the fact that they talked to Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, and they spoke to them and been like, yo, we've been the team that's been on top that tried to get back again. And you got to have that type of attitude of, like, anybody standing in our way to accomplish our goal needs to be eliminated. And, like, the way they were able to come out that night, and, like, say what you want about Durant not playing, the Nets have been playing fine without Durant since Durant's been out. Like, they've stumbled and they've been playing well.
It's about 500 ball, but
they've been able to. You're right. Good teams across the way.
But another thing that I want to take away from Paul Pierce and Garnett going to visit, you know, the Celtics practice or whatever, why don't they do that more often? Like, Paul always said that when he was playing,
because they have lives.
Man. No, it's not even that. It's not even that. Well, I mean, I'm not saying that they got to go, like, every, like, I don't know. Like, this is the first time since they got traded that they both showed up. Like, Paul's come, like, once or twice.
Why were they there?
They were there because they were filming. They were filming, you know, an episode of KG Certified. That's the only reason they were there.
You know why? Who's sponsored by BetMGM right now?
I don't know. Yeah.
Kevin Garnett. And guess what just happened? KG Sports gambling just became legal.
Well, okay. So, all right. Okay, so then it just happened to fit right into this because...
And Paul's got his weed shit going on, so they're here. Like, okay, I see what you're saying. Why aren't they both here more often?
Yeah. But, like, they came... Here. But the timing of it, other than, you know, the promoting of whatever they got going on, like, Paul Pierce has said this, and it was fairly recent that I heard him say this on the same show, the Celtics can't get bored with the process. Right. And that was kind of what we were seeing.
He said that in my interview, man. I got you to catch up with Paul over the weekend, man. And yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm sure he relayed that same type of sentiment to the team, but he must have expounded on it in a big way.
So, yeah, but that's what we were talking about with Christian last week. Like, like, is, are they bored? Are they, you know, they're just taking some of these teams lightly? You know, they can't beat Orlando for whatever reason, but for them to come out and they beat LA, but it took overtime to do it. And, you know, and that game in particular, like, you know, for whatever reason, I felt like the crowd wasn't really into it until it got late in regulation and obviously into overtime and all that, all the stuff that's surrounding that. But for them to come out from jump against the Nets, whether they were with Durant or not, because, you know, there's other guys that were out as well. TJ Warren, who's been big for them since he's been back, he was out. Obviously, you know, we don't know when Durant's going to be back, but like this team, the Nets, they don't play defense. Like Joe Harris, as great of a shooter as he is, and he hasn't, you know, been scoring as much as he has usually in the past. How many times did he get crossed up by Tatum or whoever?
Yo, who's that dude Sharp? Did you see that play when Sharp?
Oh yeah, the out of bounds play when Sharp wasn't even paying attention.
That was the worst defensive play I've ever seen.
When Horford shot it and it goes in, that's when Sharp was like, "Wait, what just happened right now? Like, where's this ball going to come in? Who's going to inbound this ball right now?" Like,
I literally had to rewind it four or five times to believe that I was actually watching an NBA game, because that was literally the worst defense I've ever seen in my life.
So just like, you know, one of the examples of like how not just dominant Brown and Tatum can be in at the same time, but like the overall depth, right? We talk about that all the time. We bring that word up a lot. Smart's out. Smart's been out for five straight games, about to miss his six. But for the most part, this team was on all cylinders the last two games, especially against the Nets.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because my biggest takeaway is like, okay, this team is going to have to adjust to adversity, however way it forms over the regular season, right? And like last episode, we were talking about like, hey, Marcus Smart is out. That's a big loss. Like, that's why we're losing, blah, 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 blah. We would go harping on it. And then they find ways to fill the gap, to continue on the way they're playing. And like, I think, you know, you got to give a little bit of credit to Joe Mazzulla for like trying to like mess the minutes up and figure out how we're going to make up for Marcus Smart. But at the same time, like my biggest thing is like, okay, you may have beaten these two teams, but now this better turn into another 7 or 8 game winning streak. Cause if it doesn't, then you got Philly harping on your coattails right now. And you got Milwaukee playing really good basketball.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of teams in the East, in Brooklyn, like even Brooklyn, like there's a lot, Miami and Cleveland outside of, tonight they made a statement game against the frigging Grizzlies. Like, there's a lot of teams that are coming at the Celtics, and like they need to keep this up. Like, this is something that needs to be sustainable, and they can't go on a 3-game losing streak. Like, there's 4 or 5 games before the All-Star break. They need to be winning in all these games before the All-Star break, man. And that like, it's a pivotal spot right now for the Celtics.
All right, well, Ducha, when we transition to your segment, man, when we look ahead, let's go through the teams here. Let's see what they have on tap here.
Okay.
And obviously, not playing with Marcus Smart is going to continue to run its course. I mean, we don't know if it's going to go straight into the All-Star break. There's a good chance that it will, but to see this team win a couple of games without him, I think there's something to be said about that for sure.
Before we get into looking ahead, we gotta talk about LeBron James spazzing the fuck out.
I've never seen anyone. I was uncomfortable, man. Like, I've never seen any player do that, something like that before.
Yo, that was a grown ass man throwing a grown ass man tantrum, if I've ever seen one.
Oh man, I thought he was gonna start like rolling on the floor like kids do.
Yo, and like, I was like 100% sure. All right, yo, this dude is gonna get teed up. There's gonna be text being thrown everywhere, and the only time there was a tech was because of fucking Pat Bev and his antics with taking someone's camera and be like, yo, look, this is a fucking, which I thought, you know, he was not going to throw out for that. You know,
that was hilarious, by the way.
even
Mike. Yeah, but who showed him that? I'm sure the cameraman was like, hey, look at this.
No, he probably was like, let me see. Yo, did anybody see that last play or some type of shit like that? Like, let me see that. Fucking takes the camera over and does what he did. But even Van Gundy and Breen were like, yo, he should have been thrown out for that. That's just, there's no place for the NBA for you know,
that's the funniest. That's the funniest thing I've ever. That to me, I'm like, yo, I
was speechless when I seen that.
I really like Pat Bev. Like that is the type of entertainment that I'm trying to tune into, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, Marcus did that. Some of the fans would have loved that shit.
Yeah, if Marcus did that, he probably would have been tossed.
No, the camera thing?
Yeah, I think he would have been tossed if that was Marcus Jones.
I don't think so. If Marcus did what LeBron did, he would have been tossed.
But you know what? You know what happened?
Or at least a technical foul at best. Like maybe Marcus doesn't get tossed, but Marcus would have easily earned himself another technical foul to lead the league.
Like I swear, I can if you want to see, I got to get Jordan a LeBron James jersey and let him sit on the couch, play the Switch, and I'm just going to take the Switch away from him. And then he's going to have that same reaction, bro. The same reaction that LeBron James had. He's going to be pounding the
floor. A grown-ass man.
No. Yo, that was literally, that was my favorite part of the season to date. It was seeing LeBron James cry like a little baby. Because you know why? There has been so many calls against every single player in the NBA over the course of the 20 goddamn years that LeBron's has been in the league, the first time he's ever got a call taken against him. This is the first time he's ever had a call that has gone against him.
And you know what, Sean? You know what? Ever since then, the Lakers are on like a campaign, an anti-referee, the NBA is against us campaign.
Yeah, even their coach, Darvin Ham is like, oh, the best player in the league can't get a call. It's like, yo, dude, have you been watching him for 20 years? Like, how many bad calls has favored him?
There's been a campaign before that game, too. LeBron before that game, because I remember the announcers were talking about it, and they were saying that how LeBron was like, yo, how am I going to break Kareem's record, and I can't get a foul? Like, how is that? Like, they were talking about that in the game. So they've been talking about that all year on the Lakers side, and it just was such poetic justice. Because you know what? The first thing that I thought about when I thought about just like how many times has LeBron's teams gotten calls over the Celtics? You know who was vindicated in that one moment? Like, not vindicated, but like, you see what I'm saying? It's like when Rondo got his arm ripped off by Dwayne Wade in game fucking six of of the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals.
That was the year before.
The year before, okay. Yeah. When Dwayne Wade ripped Rondo's arm out the socket as he was having his best game of his career. Yeah. And then they didn't do nothing about it, right? And we were all sitting there smashing stuff. And then it's like, yo, LeBron, listen, LeBron, I'll tell you this. You got to take some of your own medicine. And you're in year 20, but guess what? When he gets into the playoffs, he's not going to have to worry about that shit, bro. That's the thing that pisses me off most about it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If what would be similar to that is you're talking, there was a Rondo play in the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals where his face got raked by Dwayne Wade.
Maybe that's what I'm talking about.
It went to overtime. That was like Rondo's best game ever. Pierce fouled out. And they lost that game.
44 points.
Yep, they lost that game. They didn't call that foul. Yeah. So, like I said, he's had so many calls, non-calls or missed calls, whatever, go in his favor. You got to consider the fact that it shit evens out.
You know what? You know what I like to think of it too? It's sort of like the passing of the torch of like, yo, listen, LeBron. If you did that to Tatum 3 years ago, they wouldn't call that shit on you. But now Tatum does that to you, and Tatum's the better player. And guess what? It wasn't a foul. Yes, it was definitely a fucking foul. And just like, but like, you know what?
It took us like 20 minutes to admit that, but
But you know what?
Oh, no, it was a foul. It was a clear foul. No one's saying that it wasn't a foul, but like he acted like he got his arm taken off. You would have thought someone shot him while he was in the air.
Oh, dude.
Can we talk about what Chandler Parsons said?
Oh, that was hilarious. He goes, Joe, have you heard it?
I saw it, but I don't have it in front of me. What did he say?
Right, he goes, Chandler Parsons tweeted after the game. He goes, yo, I have a French bulldog.
Oh, that would
have
killed it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The
if mailman. If he got run over by a car in front of me, I wouldn't have reacted that bad.
Yeah, yeah. He said, if the mailman run him over in front of me, I would have, yeah, I didn't see that.
No, but then somebody tweeted out after, I think it was like Ja Morant or something, was like, yo, this dude doesn't love his dog, bro.
He's like, can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Animal cruelty?
How about the fact that this dude's just going to watch his dog and be like, oh, okay, guess
I'm going to get another dog. Just finding another dog.
You took that life insurance on a dog.
Yo, that shit's wild. That's just wild. But you know what? I just wanted to pause so we could talk about that because my feelings of a Celtics fan hasn't been like that warm in a very long time. it was like Jason Tatum putting up 46 against the Bucks to clinch the finals run. And then now LeBron James getting fouled and crying like a little baby.
That's and the rest of the Lakers act like, because even after they beat, you know, the Knicks in overtime, I also went to overtime, you know, a couple games later, and someone asked him, like, what was the difference between Boston and New York? Like, oh, well, you know, that goes without saying. That's self-explanatory. The refs decided that game. No, it didn't, bro. It went to overtime. Yeah. You had five more minutes to try to win the fucking game.
And the Lakers.
Yeah.
The Lakers.
Yeah. Last time I checked, overtime means the score is high. Bro. The
score is tied.
Also, the Lakers let the Celtics back
in. It's like, let's just stop playing because, you know, that shouldn't have gone overtime. It's like,
right.
The Lakers let the Celtics way back in that game. And that's another good thing about the Celtics is being able to wild back. And also, too, I did a little research. The Celtics are 2-6 in overtime this year. 2 out of 6.
I would have thought 4-4. That's why I said 50-50.
No, they're two and four, so 2 out of 6. You know the only two games they've won in overtime? Lakers. That's the only two teams they've beat in overtime this year is the Lakers. So there's something to be said about that. So gotta love it. Sweep the series. And now we're moving on. So looking ahead. We're looking ahead now. We now fully looking ahead. And there's not going to be any temper tantrums on this podcast that I know of until Joel tells me that somebody died that I love randomly out of nowhere. And in case you missed it, let's have
no deaths.
All right, good. So we got tonight, it's the Celtics and the Phoenix Suns. Now, you may be saying, wait a minute, didn't we already look ahead to this game? Yes, we did. So, Sean is automatically right by saying 3-0, even what happens tonight, because that was part of the last podcast. So we'll just put it that way. But that is the end of Rivalry Week. To officially end Rivalry Week.
Your version, apparently, because that should end last week.
No, I mean, if you're going to talk about Rivalry Week, it's the Knicks, Lakers, Nets, Suns. Come on, Rivalry Week. Come on.
So now it's just the Celtics doing this, not the NBA.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, now, well, yeah, the NBA.
The Celtics have two Rivalry Weeks, and the rest of the NBA one.
And shout out to the listeners, because we got a lot of Rivalry Week
comments.
Responses and comments back. And you know what? If there's ever a misstep that I ever enjoyed doing, it was saying Rivalry Week, because I've been dropping my R's and putting in W's all fucking week, man. It's been great.
You're not gonna be able to turn it off. It's gonna be funny.
No, once it sticks, man, you can't turn it off. And I hope everyone else is like going to work and being like, "Hey, do we need to take a white here or what?" You know. How do I get to the wiver? Do I take a white or what? You know.
The wiver.
Anyways, Celtics Suns, that is going to be a game that happens tonight in Boston.
Man, what a mess. Real quick, just about the Suns.
The Suns, mess.
If I could think of the perfect quick fix trade for any team in the NBA, it would be for the Suns. Like, I think they would be the ones to benefit those type of, like, you know, mid-season or right before the deadline, that type of deal where you get like a two for one and you get a couple pieces just sort of get you back on the right track. Like, they need something, man. Like, this team is so far removed from the one that we made it to the finals a couple years ago.
All right, here's my trade. I know they're going to do the Crowder trade, and I think it's bullshit. The Milwaukee thing is, like, coming up, and, like, Milwaukee gets first dibs for some reason. Like, that seems bullshit. But you know what? If I am the Phoenix Suns, I am looking to Miami, and I am saying,
yes.
I'm saying I'm going to trade you Chris Paul for Kyle Lowry and Tyler Hero. I want that.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
No.
Jesus.
No, Chris
Paul. Why are you so dramatic, man? What is wrong with you? No. This whole thing is about Chris Paul. Why would they trade him?
No, I'm going to trade Chris Paul, and I'm going to get Tyler Hero and Kyle Lowry, who's doing nothing this year, and maybe like a first round draft pick, and maybe you throw in like whatever. But like you gotta trade Chris Paul to get better, or Devin Booker is gonna leave in 2 years. Because if you continue on the way you're going and you don't get better, and you hope that Chris Paul and Devin Booker are gonna work out, which newsflash, they're not gonna work out this year. Like, this is not the year that they're gonna make anything. Then next year is gonna be the last year of Chris Paul and last year Devin Booker on a contract. Like, what are you gonna do? You don't have the opportunity to hope that Chris Paul and Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton work out. So whether it's a Chris Paul trade, or I don't think they're gonna trade Ayton because they just signed his ass. Like,
nah, you gotta put together the other guys.
The reason why I didn't go Bridges or Cam Johnson is because I feel like that's what makes that team. Like, the Bridges, Ayton, Johnson, and Booker, four, are really solid when they're all playing together. And then who is the point guard? I mean, let's say you plug in, let's say you make that trade with Miami and you get Kyle Lowry and Tyler Hero, and then you're now looking at, you know, Cam Johnson coming off your bench, and you start Booker and Hero, and you have a legitimate lineup in the West. That the West isn't that strong. You get two players like that, you're probably feeling pretty good. Miami's looking at it like, we need a player to match with Bam, Jimmy Butler, and you insert Chris Paul there. I mean, that's not bad for both teams. I think that's the way you look at it, but that's just me. I don't know.
Nah, Paul has been, you know, injured almost the whole season. Jimmy Butler's been in and out of the lineup in Miami. So, yeah, let's just grab another injury-prone player and see how far they're going to get. Like, Miami wouldn't do that.
Miami would do it because Miami needs
to. And Tyler Hero, like, they're, you know how obsessed they are with Tyler Hero? Like, no.
Dude, I think they're obsessed with Tyler Hero, but I think they also know the ceiling of Tyler Hero. And if you can get, like, two first-round picks in Chris Paul because Suns still got mad first-round picks.
And they just gave him an extension.
Great. Like, I don't know. Say what you will. I think that there's an opportunity for both teams that are sort of in the struggling. The Heat are in what? The sixth spot right now? Or in the seventh spot after they lost the other night? The Suns are obviously in the Western Conference that are dwindling. Like, they need both of those teams need to make a move. And outside of the Raptors with Fred VanVleet, what other point guard is actually going to move at the deadline that's going to be, like, really making a team better?
Well, if I'm Phoenix, I'm trying to call one of these teams that are, like, sort of like, we're not trying to break things up, but if you give us a good offer, maybe we'll consider it. You know, maybe the team like the Bulls, but I don't know. The Bulls might be out of their reach, so to speak, right? Because they're not going to take Chris Paul. You're not going to trade Booker. So maybe you're looking for guys like off the bench. I mean, not guys off the bench, but just like one of those guys that can become your third best player, third or fourth best player. You could package guys like Sarge and Payne and Johnson.
No one's taking those motherfuckers though, bro.
See, that's the thing. You gotta make it pretty with some first future first. Again, this is a
you gotta
bring in an all star. It's gonna bring
you gotta
in.
Give up on Chris Paul. That's Suns gotta give up on Chris Paul.
I think the league has given up on Chris Paul, so that's a thing. Like, I don't...
No, but if there's
yes, absolutely.
All right, if there's a team, and this is maybe the Hero thing is whatever, right? But if you're like the Heat and you can get Chris Paul for Kyle Lowry and, I don't know, pick up other player off a rotational player.
What about Chicago? Would Chicago do it?
So Chicago, I feel like is sort of in sell mode, bro. I feel like they're just like, yo.
Those are one of the teams, in my opinion. I mean,
but they're not going to take Chris Paul.
You can't trade Ball, bro. That's the thing. They're in a jam.
But they'll trade if they want to trade Ayton, they could get a DeRozan probably back for Ayton. I think they could easily do that. And the Suns have literally no backup big man to Ayton, so that's a little bit of a problem. But if you trade or if you want to get a Vucevic for Ayton, I don't know, maybe that's the thing they do. But there's a lot of There's options there, but the Suns
are probably terrible trade. Doing these trades.
No, but
I'm really mad you've done this, Sean. Like, I just wanted to look ahead.
Suns need to blow it up. Suns need to absolutely blow it up. That's what I'm trying to get at.
All right, who's next?
All right, we got Tim Tunis hopping on the line. Tim, what do you think about these trades?
He would hate all these trades. Yeah.
No, if I said you can get Kyle Lowry and Tyler Hero for Chris Paul and 2 first-round picks, he would do that in a fucking heartbeat, bro.
Well, Miami would laugh in your face.
2 first-round picks?
Yeah, you make it sound like the Rays is just like give up on the season, man. Yeah. If that was their mindset, yeah, you would do that. But
no, but you just give – you get Chris Paul for the run that you're going to try to make with Bam and Jimmy. And you got all your role players that are all undrafted still you keep.
They're going to be like, we'll just keep Kyle. Thanks.
Kyle Lowry sucks, though. All right. Anyways.
He does. I agree.
All right. And that's Miami's biggest problem. So if you can upgrade him to Chris Paul and you get a rejuvenated Chris Paul for 3 months of the season and you can make a run with Jimmy Butler, Chris Paul, and Bam Adebayo and all of the undrafted role players that have shown up there, maybe you got something. But
If he was playing the way he was before, yeah, but I don't know, man. He can't even stay healthy. He can't even stay on the floor.
Well, I think that's another thing. If Miami has great doctors, you know? All right, so that was a big, crazy spinoff of the Celtics versus Suns. Celtics by 40 points in that game. We got Monday. Celtics travel to Detroit to play
basketball.
My favorite league pass team, the Detroit Pistons, who I really do think I will put a futures bet on to make the Eastern Conference Finals next year when they are the worst team in the league and get Wanyama, and then that team is going to be fire. But Pistons, you're going to Detroit. I feel like anytime the Celtics go to Detroit, it's always a crapshoot. I don't know if you guys feel the same way.
Yeah. I mean, they've had games where they just lost their lead.
Yeah, the Alec Burks of the world and like the
and then they'll just start going off. And back in the day when
the Drummonds of the
Drummond was Drummond grabbed would like have 27 rebounds.
40-40 game against us, bro. Yeah. It always seems like that happens when we go to Detroit. So that'll be an interesting game to watch. Plus I love Jaden Ivey, I think, is one of the most underrated players in the league.
Yeah.
Yep. I swear to God he's
you can talk about him all season.
I know, I've been trying to tell people, but nobody wants to listen. Just saying. Next year, he's going to be an all-star next year. I'll put that out there. He'll be an all-star next year.
I don't think that's true at all.
All right. And then the biggest
I wonder what Brunson thinks about that, bro. Out in New York, we got snubbed.
Don't get me started, kid.
Sorry.
Jalen Brunson is like,
but I was going to make it over there.
I feel like I drafted Jalen Brunson out of Villanova. For our fantasy team last year, we picked up Jalen Brunson in our 30-team fantasy league last year, and he was a stalwart in our lineup. And remember we had a little bit of a discussion about it? And I was like, you got to take Brunson. And you were like, yeah, I sort of like Brunson. I was like, you got to take Brunson. I knew we needed to take Brunson, man.
Yeah, we're both on the same page on that one.
But you know who's missing Jalen Brunson right now?
The Mavericks.
Luka.
Who is Luka Doncic?
Yes, that would be the right question on Jeopardy. So, who is the son of a coach that you wish was on your team right now?
Austin Rivers. Who is Austin Rivers?
No. Who is Jalen Brunson? Anyways, we got But next year, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. If the Pistons next year, you heard it here first in the Causeway Street podcast, the Pistons next year will make the playoffs. I guarantee that. I will guarantee that.
And both of these are lies.
Nope. Pistons, playoffs next year.
Trust me. Are they going to be moving to the Western Conference?
Nope. You're going to get a healthy Cade Cunningham. You're going to get a year or two of Jaden Ivey. You got Jalen Duran, who is absolutely going to be growing into his body. The dude's 19 years old.
Are they going to draft Wembanyama? Is that what you see in the future?
And when yes. How do you say his name?
Wembanyama.
Yeah, I cut off a syllable and I say Wanyama.
Yeah, you missed the other one. You know what's funny? When people just say the first name, they're like, we're not even trying it.
What is it? What is it? How do you say it?
Wembanyama.
Wembanyama. Okay.
Yeah.
So Wembanyama, I think if watch the fuck out, because if the Pistons get Wembanyama,
I'll give you that. Yeah, if they get him, they'll make the playoffs. Yeah, that's a big if.
No, it's not. They're the worst team in the league. they get the number one pick.
Yo, talk to Danny Ainge about that. That really
seriously.
I mean, they have to really lock down that spot. I guess.
When also
talk,
when was the last time?
Talk to the 76ers too when they had the first pick.
Oh yeah, talk to the 76ers who had the first pick now for three straight years. That Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and Markelle Fultz. Yeah, talk about it. Yeah, how about
they're worth in Charlotte now?
Wow. When was the last time the Pistons had the number one pick?
I remember Darko. That was number one.
No, Grant Hill.
That's right. 96.
Yeah, Darko was number two. And number they should have went with Melo, but they decided to go with Darko.
Easiest pick of all time. Pick the other guy. What the fuck is wrong with you?
But I'm just saying the Pistons.
It's like Portland with Sam Bowie over Jordan.
No. It's like Portland not picking Odin and going with, like, I don't even know.
I'm just saying.
Russo, you know,
don't start with Joe Murray. So don't.
It's like you didn't even pick the second person that everyone else would have picked. You just picked a whole nother guy in Darko.
Yeah,
who, if I'm not mistaken, was on very few like scouting reports as to be like a top 10 pick. Like, motherfuckers had this dude late first at best, or top 20 at best.
Listen, Joe Dumars knew what he was doing, all right?
No, because Darko was like what they thought was the best center, and he wasn't even the best center, but they're just like, oh, we got draft for position. No, man, you draft for talent. I don't care. I don't care if you just won a championship, man. You always draft
the best player.
The best
especially player. When you suck.
The best player.
Especially when you get the suck. If you got a top five pick, you best draft the best player regardless of need. You don't have a need. That's your true. Need is the best player, and you can get rid of the player who fits that spot. But so you're agreeing with me. If the Pistons get Wembanyama, then they're making the playoffs next year. And listen to this. I'm going to give 1 minute on why the Pistons should be a must-watch for everybody.
Why is every team so that's playing against this week is like getting a full, like, this is your life, narrated by Sean Ducey.
All right, just listen to this. Listen to this lineup, and this is the young players they got on this team. Jaden Ivey, who I think is going to be All-Star next year. Cade Cunningham, who was a Rookie of the Year. Jalen Durant, 19 years old. Sadiq Bey, Causeway Street favorite. Killian Hayes, backup point guard.
One that got away.
Backup point guard, the best backup, the third string point guard in the league. And Isaiah Stewart, who beat up LeBron James, are all under 25 years old on this team. And you put in Wembanyama on this team. And he's instantly Jaden to Wembanyama. And they got Bojan Bogdanovic. They got the real Bogdanovic on this team. Not the fake Bogdanovic. The real Bogdanovic.
I forgot about Beast, too.
Yep.
Yeah, they got some pieces.
All right, they got pieces, dog. So just don't fucking sleep on them. I just don't want to hear any disrespect of the Pistons anymore. Next game for the Celtics is probably the biggest game of the pre All-Star game run for the Celtics is number one versus number two. We got Celtics 76ers. Now Joel Embiid has been on a fucking tear lately, and how did the Celtics slow Joel Embiid in this game? It is in Boston. It's on a Wednesday night at 7:30 on the 8th. How did the Celtics slow them down?
The same way they've been doing it over the last couple of seasons? I don't know.
The same way we've always been doing it.
Wait. This isn't the second leg of a back-to-back or anything, right?
No,
they got the... Okay,
we're going to get the Al matchup. We're going to get the Al matchup with little Rob.
Yeah, Rob and Al.
Rob, by the way, was coming out probably like his best game of the season.
Oh, yeah. Rob looked amazing against Brooklyn, man.
What the fuck talk about Rob? How did we not talk about Rob? Yeah.
Let's talk about Rob. Go ahead. Talk about Rob, Joel.
I just said it. He had the best game of the season so far since he's been back.
You think it's the best game of the season? It's up there. It's up there for sure. I like how everyone was talking about his ceiling after the game and how he's got no ceilings. Yo, Sean, I can make the Lil Wayne reference.
No ceilings.
You would have loved it, yeah. No ceilings. But yeah, I like that. I like that. I think the Celtics, especially the top tier guys, they've been trying to get him more involved offensively, especially those bounce passes down low and backdoor cuts. It's always the law. That's always there for the taking. But I just like the Celtics incorporating him more often, because when opposing defenses close in, he's got that. He's open. You know, he's there, and he's got the hands for those bounce passes. And he's got the footwork to make space and go up with it. My only knock on Rob at the time since he's been back is he likes to turn around and start looking for someone to pass the ball to. It's like, no, man, you got that. You know, there's been so many plays where I feel like there's like literally no one in front of him, but he's got back to the basket because he's looking for the right pass. Like, and look, I give him credit for a center. He's a darn good passer. He's got great hands, but he can also finish with that. Like, don't be shy, Rob. Get involved, you know? But he's starting to do it.
You know what I've noticed?
He's getting there. He's got that feet work. Yeah, we got it.
You know what I've noticed this year, I think more than last year, is how active he is underneath the rim offensively rebounding. Like, I feel like this year.
See, that's the thing, though, John. I mean, and look, that's a good thing. But yeah, I'm with you on that. I just feel like his mindset is either offensive rebounding, you know, grabbing boards, obviously, and looking for passes. And we're just like, man, we appreciate that. But sometimes I'm like, he's got to be in attack mode sometimes, especially in those situations. Like, I get it. Go grab that second chance opportunity, but go right up with it. You know, don't just turn around and look for someone to pass the ball to you.
Or the tap back.
Yeah, but
I'm yeah, yeah.
But I feel like that's a good thing for him to do, because when he came back this year, remember, the Celtics had the best offensive team in the league, and he was just trying to find his way into the lineup and being like, oh, I can't shoot, so I got to figure out a way to contribute.
Plus, he was coming off the bench, too, when he came back.
I feel like, though, this year he's been so active down there, and it's been super beneficial to, like, I know you wanted to put it up, Sway, but getting extra possessions for a great shooting team can't be undersold.
No, I get it. I don't think it's something that he's got to change his game for. I just think it's a more of a comfort thing. It's more of a adapting. Because, look at the offense. This isn't the same offense these guys were doing last year. It's a lot more free-flowing, guys just knowing what you're supposed to do, knowing where you're supposed to be. It's quick. You know, I feel like, because of his health, you know, not being available every single game to continue to build that stride and get his fatigue back, it's sort of set him back a bit, but he'll be all right. I just think him getting used to things, especially when you see him in the fourth quarter, I think he dials it back a bit because he's exhausted. It seems like going back and forth, but obviously he left it all out on the floor against the Nets, because man, that game was over by the fourth quarter.
I feel like when we're talking about Rob, I feel like he's not the type of player you're going to pass it into the low post and he's going to do anything down there. He doesn't have no low post moves. Like, it's just not
right. It's not in the low post, though. I'm talking about, like, when you're attacking, the double team comes, and he's always going to be underneath the basket with his hands, you know what I mean, ready to go. Like, those little bounce passes, little shuttle passes that Tatum does sometimes when he fakes his guy out, and then they don't even know he's there. It's an easy layup, or he goes to the free throw line, you know?
Like, I feel like Rob's been trained since he's been here to only catch the ball at his head and put it up. Like, if it's a bounce pass, don't do that to Rob. He's going to take it and flip it out. But, like, he's just been, like, ever since he's been here, ever since he's been a Celtic, it's been lob it to me or better pass it up top so I can just take it and shoot it real quick. Like, he's not.
That's mad limited.
That's like the opposite of, like, Perk. Perk, you had to bounce that ball to him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And he wanted two dribbles before he shot.
Yeah, that was exactly. Perk. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, you're right. That is limited.
Do a little bit of both. Honestly. Yeah. I think that's how you maximize his offense. You know, especially when you're down some guys like Marcus, who's a big part of what you do on that.
I think he looks at it. If he's down Marcus, he's like, okay, I need to get more rebounds because Marcus isn't going to come in for the rebounds. You know what I mean? Like, and that's fine.
Right.
Friday it's the Hornets coming to Boston. So you got the Suns, Pistons, Sixers, and then the Hornets, which we know the Hornets are definitely in the bottom of the barrel, trying to get down to where the Pistons are. Pistons are two games worse than the Hornets, by the way, Sway, if you were wondering. Their Pistons are sitting firmly in the last position in the East. All right, so that's what we got. And we don't need to talk shit about the Hornets because the Hornets suck. The Hornets are going to stupidly trade away pieces.
Yeah, this is your longest segment of all time. I just want to say that.
Well, we talk about Rob. We talk about a lot of things.
Taking the life out of us.
the Hornets will stupidly trade away pieces at the deadline and probably give up some pieces to maybe try to compete with Pistons as being the worst team in the league, which is dumb. You just sit your players and keep young talent, but they're going to trade them. But anyways, that's the Celtics for four games this week, or four next games, and it's obvious to me. I don't know if you guys, it's so obvious, but 4-0, you know?
Yeah, I could see Terry on the Suns, but that's just me.
That'd be a good trade.
I don't know what the package would be, but I could see that happening.
I mean, Terry's going to be moved. Terry's probably going to be moved for a first round pick. I mean, Terry to a lot of teams will be very valuable. Very valuable.
Yeah.
Shots play.
It's your boy Terry Rozier. You're listening to the Causeway Street Podcast.
All right. So Phoenix, Trey, who else?
Philly, Charlotte. Yeah, I'm going 3-1.
All right. Yo, Terry to the Celtics. That's what I want to say. Peyton Pritchard and a first round pick for Terry Rozier. There we go.
So they're just going to put Peyton Pritchard in that role? Or Terry?
Yeah, imagine you got Terry being your ninth man off the bench in the playoffs. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Let's go.
Because he loved that so much when he was here.
Yeah, that worked out well.
No, Terry.
He loved the limited point guard role.
Yes. Now he's going to be the third string point guard? Fantastic. So he's like, sign me up.
Terry will come here. He'll play in the regular season, balling out. And then, you know, he'll make some big shots in the playoffs, get that big. He'll get the second big contract. He'll get that third contract of his career.
I was going to say, he just got a new one.
Yeah, right.
Well, he just got a new one. It's up after this year, I think.
No, they extended him, but yeah.
Oh, they extended him.
Right. That's one rich guy.
Yeah.
I got him talking about the good old days in Boston. I was like, you ever wonder what his name? He's just like, nah. The way I took that was, ain't no way Boston was going to give me that type of money. I'm good. I'm chilling.
Yeah, I'll play another 3 years on shitty teams and then get signed to a good contender, and then he's got an NBA career. And like, you know what? Good for fucking Terry Rozier, man. I fucking love that dude, man.
You know what? I always had a feeling, like an inkling, that he might end up like in the next year or two, LA. I don't know why.
Yo, me Lakers. Too. Like, I do Lakers. Feel like yeah. I do feel like the Lakers would shell out because they just lost Nunn, right? And they got Hachimura. Mm-hmm. Like, could you
see them? Pickup for them too. That's a good pickup for them.
That's a good pickup.
But it doesn't even shock me. Every time the Lakers want to make a move, they make a move. The Lakers always get whatever they're looking for, they get. For the most part. Yeah.
I'm with Sway. Like, unfortunately, we're going to see Terry Rozier in the Lakers jersey in the next, like, 2 years.
Either that? If you were Charlotte, though, and I'm sounding like you, Sean. If you were Charlotte, though, I mean, would it be the worst thing in the world? Let's say, hypothetically, you strike out on Wembanyama. You're sort of in that spot of purgatory where you got young pieces. I mean, would it be the worst thing in the world if you took a step back and then went forward and took on a Westbrook contract and was just like, all right, LA, we'll do it.
Yeah, we'll give us four first-round picks and we'll give you Terry.
Exactly. Right?
But you know what? Especially, too?
Especially after what Utah did. The pieces that Danny sold, they just stacked up like seven first-rounders. It's like, man, okay, maybe obviously Rozier can't get you that much, but that's what it costs to get a player like Westbrook, you know, off your hands. Let's do it.
I don't even know why we got there, but.
You? What do you mean you don't know how we got there? Yes. You got us in.
You drove the bus, my dude. You're the bus driver in this scenario.
And I could play the whole way down there.
Bro, anyways, that's it. Is it 4-0 or 3-1? What do you got?
I said 3-1.
That's same.
Who do they lose to?
Pistons.
You.
You're the one that loves the Pistons, so what the fuck? You should be happy.
Yeah, baby. I was going to say you. You beautiful son of a bitch. There you go.
You know what you're talking about. Philly.
Oh, you got 3-1 and they lose to Philly. You think they're going to lose to Philly?
I do.
This
means a lot to those guys.
All right. They have.
I mean, it's the first matchup since opening night. So, I mean, it's been a lot of games between.
And Embiid is pissed. He's really mad about how things have unfolded this year. So.
Well, you know who else should be pissed? Doc.
Yeah, he probably is. This is it, you know? For 1 year, if they can do it, I think this is it. So I'm going to try to send a message.
Do you think that I'm obviously getting into more shit right now, but whatever. Do you think the 76 is going to be active on the trade market? No. Try to improve the team?
No, I think they're fine. I think they've done enough trading over the last few years.
That's as it is.
This is it. Yeah. This is it. Yeah.
Yeah, same. I agree.
They got Maxi coming off the bench now, so they're like, they're
good. I mean, what do you think they need?
Yeah, what do they need?
Can you get better?
I just think that maybe
they, like, you can always get better, bro.
Yeah, you can always get better. I mean, Tobias Harris is a player on that team that maybe they try to look to improve and get multiple pieces for to put around.
Ain't nobody picking up that contract, bro.
That contract ain't as bad as you think it is.
I don't know. I think he's not as good as you think he is, bro.
No, I think that his contract isn't as bad as people think it is. And Tobias Harris is just a little bit better than people think he is. Oh no!
Is this like, let's talk about every other team with the Celtics day for you or something? Like, what's going on here, right?
Yeah, let's go to in case you missed it.
Have you ever done this thorough of a freaking deep dive on every team the Celtics are playing on? Not only like where they stand as a franchise, but where their season's been going. Like, pretty much did like a recap of every team's season up until this point, up until this crucial matchup against the Celtics,
and what they need at the trade deadline, and what they should be looking for,
prospects,
who they should be drafting.
What's your problem, dude? What the fuck? We got a show here, man.
For real.
If Joel did this, you'd be furious.
No, because Joel be like,
this is the equivalent of like Joel being like I don't know, like some random actress died or something, but then like he did it like. He said that, and then he talked about like three teams that have players on their injured list or something like you know what I mean, like the most like niche type of update for in case you missed it. Not saying he would do that, Joel, but like that would be like the equivalent of what you just did. Like,
yo, why don't we Joel get
just
into
started reading off like injury reports and like just giving us like updates that no one asked for.
Joel, why don't we get into it in case you missed it about the Charlotte Hornets only?
Okay. Yeah. How'd you know? That's all my case miss is all about.
Yeah. If Sean were ever to switch and do in case you missed it, I think we get some weird ass stories, if I'm being honest. But luckily, that's not the case.
We should actually do that one. We should actually do that for one episode. Let's see what happens. See where he takes us on this bus ride.
All right, guys.
If we ever do, just no matter who they play against, just say 0-4 just to drive the students safe.
Yeah. I got you.
Go crazy.
Yeah.
All right, let's take our trip around the NBA. Let's wrap up this long episode of Causeway Street the way we wrap up every single episode here with Joel's In Case You Missed It.
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 Joel, what we missed?
I'm gonna keep it simple. We're just gonna talk about the All-Star reserves. Some snubs, obviously, every year. It's the same thing, you know. Two or three, four players that should have made it.
Yeah, we got our All-Star show coming up soon. Yeah, so.
Hey, is that the Top 25 show coming up soon or what?
Yeah, you said it. It's going to be interesting this year.
All right, the NBA All-Star reserves were announced in the East. Congrats to Jaylen Brown, obviously. He's making his second All-Star appearance.
Hey!
Joel Embiid has made it as well. He won't be happy, like Sway said earlier. About that, you know, it is what it is.
He's going to take it out on Celtics for sure.
Bam Adebayo, Julius Randle, DeMar DeRozan, Jrue Holiday, who the last time he made an All-Star game, 10 years ago.
See, that's a disgrace right now. That's a Chris Middleton vote that everyone always questioned every single year.
He was holding on. He was keeping the Bucks afloat with Middleton and Antetokounmpo. They were both out for a little while there, and they're still second in the East.
Yeah, he really was, man. Yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with how the Bucks have been in the mix, you know, top two, top three in the East, and he's had a whole lot to do with that. And I think he deserves it.
Yeah, and remember, this is the coaches that vote for the reserves in each conference. So, and last but not least, Tyrese Haliburton has made it over James Harden, over Jalen Brunson.
Well, that's what I was just going to say is like, I know people are going to say, wow, Tyrese Haliburton Tyrese Haliburton should make it. He was an all-star. He's put up all-star numbers all year. And I don't know, man. Like for me,
you think people will say that though?
No, it's the Tyrese Haliburton over James Harden. Really? Wow. Like the Pacers suck.
I mean, he missed sometimes.
Why do the Bucks need two all-stars? They're not the best team in the NBA this year. like in the past where Chris Middleton has gotten in, it's because the Bucks were the number one team in the league, so they needed two all-star players. Now we're saying that the Bucks get two all-stars every year, even if they're number two or number three or number four. So then, in the East.
So then, who are you putting in? Obviously, you're not a fan of the Jrue Holiday.
I am not a fan of the Jrue Holiday.
Man. 10 years in between All-Star appearances. So who would you put in? No,
I am not a fan.
So you want to say? I know you want to say Jalen Brunson, right?
I would do two things to the All-Star team. I would do two things. Is that first off, is that if you're going to take a New York Nick, it needs to be Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle. I know. You have been trying hard, but your ISO game is god-awful. And if I was a Nick fan, I would hate you because you just ISO up. I've watched a couple Knicks games this year. It is just tough to watch. When it gets to crunch time, ISO Randle bring up the – like, that is just the worst basketball. So I would – I mean, Jalen Brunson has been a renaissance for that team. I'd bring Brunson in and
take out Randle.
I would take out Randle, and I would also take out Holiday, and I would put in Harden. I'd make sure that Harden and right, Brunson both got in the lead.
So let me get this straight. You would have Brunson, DeMar DeRozan, James Harden, Tyrese Haliburton, and Jaylen Brown. Those are all guards, my dude.
Fine.
All right. So it'd just be Bam and Embiid. Those are the only two front court guys on the reserves.
No, you got Tatum. You got
No. I'm talking about reserves. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's fine. Yes. Bam, Embiid, and then Garland.
Bam, who's like 6'7", and Embiid.
I wonder if that's gonna happen eventually. You know, maybe that won't be quite the ratio, but you know, it'll be like the reserves will just be the best players
instead of right. positions. Yeah. I think
because you know what's gonna happen. Well, what's already happening is people saying, man, well, the five spots is not fair enough. You know, some certain people should be labeled as forwards, other people should be labeled as guards. So then I can see it being the case where, all right, well, if you want to make the team, just stand out the most. You know, stand out the most outside of the outside of that top five, outside of the starting five. And if you can't get into one of those categories, and you can't just stand out on your own as an all-star, you know, positionless all-star, then you don't deserve to make it. I mean, either that. Or they open up a couple more spots.
Yeah, because there is the whole, like, there is the, like, the wing debate, too, because Pascal Siakam has had a pretty good year. I mean, you could simply say, like, hey, if it comes down to the last player to make and it's Jrue Holiday, or if I want to build a real team, I want Pascal because of the size, because I got plenty of guards. You could do that, too. Like, there's ways to
you would have to drop either Brunson or Harden.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So if you want to just pick the best players that deserve All-Star, then you pick the best players. If you want to build a team, that's different. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what are we trying to do here? You know what I mean?
Well, I get you, but like, because of the format that it is, I believe they have to pick a certain amount of frontcourt players, a certain amount of backcourt
players. But why did Randle make it over Brunson? Because they needed another forward to play. They needed a big man to fill out the roster.
The fuck did I just say, my dude? I just said that.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, we're not trying to build a championship team here. You're trying to honor the best players that have played. And if you have a small ball lineup versus, the West isn't going to have multiple forwards in it too that are going to be able to dominate big ball. It's not like you got Ralph Sampson and fucking Hakeem Olajuwon out there, bro. You like everyone? Let's pick the best players and run it, dude.
Yeah. Okay. So, any other snubs you guys think that should have made it that didn't, or might make it because of injuries?
On the East.
On the East. East. Yeah. I haven't gone the West yet. I'm just the East.
I think they got it right.
All right.
They
got it
right. All right. No, I think you heard my piece.
All right. Out West, it's John Morant. We got Shea Shea making his first All-Star
appearance. Hey. Love it.
SG. Hey.
Damian Lillard. Domantas Sabonis.
Good.
Lauri Markkanen. And Paul George.
Hey, Lauri Markkanen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
An All-Star.
No, yeah. And last but not least, Jaren Jackson Jr. That's a big question mark for me. I don't know.
That's my only beef.
Oh man, you think it's because of what that sketchy stat stuff going down in Memphis? You guys hear about this?
Oh, no.
No, I didn't
please,
hear about this.
Please.
You didn't hear about this? Oh, no. Man. So there's a big investigation going on because for some reason, Jaren Jackson Jr. averages like almost double in steals and blocks.
Yeah, I know about the blocks.
Particular assists only when he plays at home. So then someone's been sort of doing some research and some digging, and they're pretty much investigating the guy who runs the scores table to see if he's been
padding
his stats. Yeah, giving him an extra block or so, or an extra steal, just to help him. So the conspiracy is to help him win Defensive Player of the Year. from this account or from this report, it seems like it's gone overboard to the point that it's propelled him into an all-star. So they're looking into it, and they're like, wait, how do you...
Is it because of rebounds and blocks?
It's all defensive stuff, yeah. It's all defensive stats that pretty much go up like 130% when he's in Memphis, in contrast to when he's on the road.
And when they're on the road, at least recently, he's been out, so... You might be on something this way. Damn.
I mean, it's not me, but
I know. But like, presenting the information here on in case
you drop the fucking beat, Joel. Drop the fucking conspiracy beat, because I am all in on this shit.
Yo, isn't that crazy?
Yo, wish is my command.
Yo, that's why.
Back in my day, like I was the guy who looked a little too. I played better on the road, but my splits weren't like that. And like that's insane. Like, this guy is like flat out a much better player when he's at.
Someone's like, if you don't play, like when we go on the road, people won't notice it.
Yeah, and your stats stay the same.
And your stats stay the same exactly. You don't get it doesn't. Yeah, they don't drop. Wrong,
like I know Memphis is a good team, but. Jaren Jackson Jr. being an all-star, that seems like out of control, dude.
The guy's like, yo, I want him to make the all. I want him to be the best player of the year. I didn't know he'd make an all-star team. My bad. Like, damn it, Jim, you went too far, man.
Someone's going to be like, yo, well, then he's not going to play. He's not playing. Sorry, he's not playing in the league. He'll be considered an all-star, but he's just not playing. Fuck it.
All right? Poor Jackson, like, he didn't sign up for this. Well, at least from my understanding, at least that's what we're assuming here. Unless he's in on this, fucking paying this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I get the, because it's in Utah, you get to have a Utah guy in there, and I'm pretty sure when the city of Salt Lake was like, yeah, we're gonna put in a bid because you know our franchise player is gonna be here for a long time, and then he gets traded, you know, Donovan Mitchell. So I was like, all right.
Hey, but I will say this. I think that Lauri Markkanen has, I mean, not so much in the past like 3 weeks.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Up until that point, he's been. An all-star. The Jazz shouldn't have been better than they were. They were the number one team in the West for a while. So
yeah, they start out that way. Yeah,
and Lauri Markkanen has played really good.
He's played well. No, I'm not. I'm taking nothing away from him. I'm bad, but yeah, just the Jaren Jackson thing just kind of threw me off a little bit.
Well, for the Jaren Jackson thing, I mean, I look at like so the biggest dude that I see that got ripped off from the all-star team on the West is. I know that the Kings put Sabonis in, but De'Aaron Fox has been having a career year as well.
That's what Chuck said. Chuck said he's surprised that that Fox.
De'Aaron Fox. Like,
yeah.
All right. When it comes down to the last All-Star spot, it is positionless. It's either a forward, and if Jaren Jackson was the last guy to make it, and now we're talking about Jaren Jackson's stat implosions. Because of the fucking guy. I mean, this is bullshit. That's
fucking scorekeeper here. What the fuck is going on?
Yo, Jaren Jackson better bow out of this motherfucker quickly before that thing gets fucking legs, dude. I swear to God. He had to fucking bow out with a thigh injury mad quick.
It's an honor, but I can't make it.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, so I'm saying someone has to like, you know, cover up. Something there. It's not on him, obviously. I don't think he's even realizing it, but like, I don't know. It's just weird.
Also, Western Conference, you talk about Western Conference like stalwarts in the All-Star game. Devin Booker and Anthony Davis didn't make this fucking team.
Because they missed like 25 or so games.
Which is fine. But then also, like, if you were to say at the beginning of the year, hey, there's going to be a Western Conference All-Star team, Devin Booker and Anthony Davis, take them out of the lineup. Who the fuck was saying, well, now Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to have a spot to get in? You know what I mean?
Said no one.
Said no one ever.
But you know, besides the guy who runs the scores table in Memphis.
You know who I'd be pissed if I was him in the Western Conference?
He just screamed out, defensive player of the year.
You know, if I'm in the Western Conference and I'm playing, I mean, Anthony Edwards gotta get some.
Yeah, that Chuck said that he should have made it.
Now he's never gonna do a dunk contest. Damn it.
Yeah, I know, dude.
He's like, why am I going over there for?
Yeah, right. Like, Utah, I'm good. I'm going to the Bahamas.
And even with like,
I'm going to Aruba, my dude.
Even with Christopher Lloyd as the coach, he's been balling out all year, dude.
Chet Hunter, Sean Dett.
Yo, Chet Hunter has been dialing up the plays for Anthony Edwards all year. I'm going to throw out a stat line, and you tell me if it's all-star worthy. 25 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists.
Yeah, that's all-star worthy. But was that Booker?
That's Anthony Edwards right now.
Oh, okay, yeah.
How does Jaren Jackson Jr. make it a bad
ass? You got to talk to the dude, the timekeeper guy.
Sketchy statistician.
Right? I know, yes.
Insane.
That's it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any damn sense.
Right. Hold on, I'm gonna.
He's like, no one's gonna notice this 7 months later.
Okay. And now,
apparently, extends from last season too, not just this year.
Yeah. You know what though, bro? You know, I just googled the Jaren Jackson Jr. stats for the year. Okay, I understand it now. He's averaging. He's averaging 16.5 points, 6.7 rebounds, and 0.9 assists. So I get why he made the All Star team. You know that is.
He's the new Draymond Green, bro. What are you talking about?
If I ever had to pick an all-star, it'd be somebody that's averaging 16 and 6.
Didn't Draymond make it last year? He was averaging like 7 points, 8 rebounds. Draymond last year, like points, 8 rebounds, six assists.
Which made me think about a few years ago when Al made it, and I was just like, well. At least they weren't Draymond numbers.
I know, right? At least it was, it was a near double-double, at least.
But people complained about Al, but Al was putting up, at the time, it was like 14, 7, and 4, or something like
that.
But not only was he, the engine of that team at the time, but, he was a big reason why they were, a top three team in the East.
But also, wait, was that the Hawks year, or are you talking about the Celtics year?
Celtics.
I'm talking about his last, the Celtics, I think that was his last year
the number one seed.
Right, that's what I mean. He had a big part to do with that on both ends. Plus, he was shooting. That's when he was shooting 44% from three. So it was his career high from behind the arc.
Jaren Jackson Jr. He's just averaging 36% from three. So
what are the splits for the blocks though? Isn't it 4 blocks a game or something like that?
So Jaren
at home,
it's 6.6 blocks a game or some shit.
Yeah, 6.6, and on the road it's 1.8.
His blocks do seem pretty high. Let me see here real quick. Yeah, Jaren Jackson.
They said it's almost 170% increase.
Jaren Jackson Jr. is averaging 3.3 blocks per game. I think Shaq was averaging 3.3 blocks per game back in the day.
How tall is Jackson? We gotta do our own research here.
No,
he's not even 7 feet.
Yeah, Jaren
Jackson.
He's not
even 7 feet. He's 6'9", but he's listed at 6'10".
So Jaren Jackson Jr., he is 6'11", right, which is fine.
All right.
But he also shoots more threes than a motherfucker.
He's like Tristan Thompson size.
Yeah, yeah. He's tall enough that nobody would have questioned it. You know.
Actually, Sway, you're right. He's Tristan Thompson. If the Tristan Thompson made the All-Star team,
same exact player almost. Yeah.
If Tristan Thompson could shoot a 3-pointer, then that would be Jaren Jackson Jr.
like Tristan in his heyday when he won that championship in Cleveland.
Really? Absolutely, the worst All-Star in 50 years. Jaren Jackson Jr.
Well, I don't know. Hopefully, he won't be drafted by Antetokounmpo, so Joe doesn't have to fucking deal with him.
Jaren Jackson Jr. Right?
But shout out to the Celtics coaching staff. Yeah, they're going out to Salt Lake, even though Joe kind of downplayed the whole thing. Nah, it doesn't mean anything.
David Stoudemire, yo, what you mean?
I know, right? He's like, yo, my man. We didn't even do this last year. We're fucking email, yo.
I thought I didn't have a job after that email shit, man. We hit.
You know what's mad funny is
he's like, if it's not a big deal, then let me coach the fucking team then.
Yeah, right. And once you stay ass home, I
got you. You know what's funny though? I do feel like a lot of the
nothing's cool to you, huh, Joe?
I know, right? Yeah, you're too cool for like school, Joe.
But do you feel like that? Like when Joe Mazzulla's done with his coaching career, someone's gonna be like, yeah, 3-time All-Star coach. No one does that. You know what I mean? Like, what is he getting from this whole thing? No one goes like, yeah, Joe Mazzulla coached 3 All-Stars in his career.
Joey's like, exactly. Thank you, Sean.
No one gives a fuck about who coached.
No, man, because it's like, it's the first year.
If he said that, though, he would come off as such a douche.
Yeah, that's true.
Who's going to remember this? It's all about, you would be like, all right.
Joey, yeah, like if they win the championship, like, yo. Not only did they win the championship in his first year, yo, he was the All-Star coach. He was the All-Star coach, yo. That's insane.
And Stan Van Gundy's going to be like, hey, I was the All-Star coach multiple times in my career. Maybe if Dwight wasn't such a pussy, I'd make a finals run. You know, I'd have an NBA championship ring. But instead, I coached 7 All-Star teams. Okay, look at me. And now I got a broadcast job. Like, yo, that's what I think Joe Mazzulla's like. Who gives a fuck who coaches the team? No one gives a fuck.
Oh, shit. But, I mean, you can't even, like, how do you even plan for this? Because it's like, my team just got selected in half an hour ago? All right, let's see how we're going to do this.
You know what also I've noticed is that a lot of major sports shows have been dropping this line lately of being like, hey, are we going to go out to Salt Lake City for the All-Star game? And Stephen A. Smith was like, he just started cackling.
Salt Lake City.
Yeah, oh, what the fuck am I going to do in Salt Lake City? You think this motherfucker gets up on the slopes?
Huh? So you think a brother's going to go to fucking Salt Lake City?
Yeah.
You guys think Eric Lewis, the referee at the Celtics at Laker game, he's going to be at the All-Star game? He's going to be one of the refs?
Nah.
No. No go? No chance?
Probably not.
You guys heard that, right? He was a Celtics fan or something like that?
Yeah, but that record thing is fake, though, right? Someone put a record.
Oh, yeah, the record, yeah. I never thought.
They're 11-2 every time
Every time I kept seeing that, it kept going up and up. It was like, oh, they're like 35-6, you know, and every time in every game that he's refed.
So I was like, I don't think this is true.
As Celtics fans, don't you think we would have known that, like, before posted 36-2?
Celtics fans notice that and when they're getting screwed. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for this edition of In Case You Missed It. Follow us on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. Hit up causewaystreet.com for your Celtics rumors, news, and opinions. Subscribe to our After Hours. That's patreon.com/
Yes, sir.
Yo, the After Hours before today's show was fire.
Yeah, I guess that's our tease.
Yeah. A lot to unpack there. So, once again, Causeway, After Hours, patreon.com/causeway. And that is it. You know, guys, any last-minute thoughts? Yeah, the NBA definitely now is going to fucking, you know, cater to LeBron the rest of the fucking season. I can see it already.
Probably.
With all these fucking conspiracies.
I mean, Joel, when you couple that with the fact that he's about to beat Kareem's record and become the all-time scorer, I just think, yeah, I'm with you, but it also has to do with the fact where, like, it hasn't been a great season for them. So, I don't know. I just feel like it'll be, like, a subconscious thing from the referees. Just like, all right, I guess you give them that call. Wait, don't throw a temper tantrum again. Like, but that's the thing. Like, if I'm the ref, I'm giving you shit. Like, come on, man. 20-plus years. Like, when they line up at the free throw line, I'd be like, so, did you black out? Or did you know you were doing those movements when you did that? Like, you know what I mean? I would mess with them so much, man. Like,
not only that, but referees
don't do that anymore, man. Yeah. I don't want to be friends with you. That's the
difference. Not only that, but like now he can you know talk his shit about the refs and he's not even gonna get fined even. Not even that. No fines, no texts.
Oh, they already tested those waters. They're good. They're clear.
Yeah. And on top of that, this dude, Eric Lewis, right after the game, explained or like apologized or whatever the hell he did, talking about like, you know, the missed call or whatever. And I'm like, yo, when does that ever happen? Like minutes after a game that a ref was like, yeah, I wanna explain, you know. I know LeBron was pretty upset. You know, I just want to be like, yeah, we fucked up. We missed the call. No, that's never happened ever. Never. And then and then the NBA to issue like the whether the apology was a sincere one or a sarcastic one, like the NBA's never done that. Like the following day, like, yo, we're losing sleep over not, you know, not getting these calls right. You know, LeBron is right.
Rich Paul's been calling us all night.
Seriously, like, come on, man. That's
just, yo, how much you wanna bet? How much you wanna bet?
So we want
the way they're gonna make up for this shit, bro, is fucking when Jaren Jackson Jr. when he somebody backs out of the Western Conference team, Anthony Davis is going to move into that spot. Like Anthony Edwards and Darren Fox are going to be left in the dust. Anthony Davis is going to take that spot because they're going to make it up for LeBron. I bet you. You wait.
All right, and on that note, we are out. Later.